Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm Pat, and here I have, what's your name again?
Papa Bowman.
Okay.
Back Thank from you. My vacation.
Thank you for joining us, Papa Bowman, and happy to have you.
Yeah, I noticed you kind of took me off there for a week, or not a week, just for the initial impressions of Nintendo E3.
You weren't here.
I know. I'm joking. Andrew Snyder was filling in for me for the Nintendo E3 impressions.
He did a bang-up job.
He did. I listened to you guys. It was good. It was a good podcast.
Thank you.
Like it was lacking a little bit of that extra, like, oomph, you know? Mm-hmm, but overall...
Yeah, it was lacking a few mispronunciations.
Yes, I missed that.
Okay. So, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I watched E3 like everyone else did.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
That did happen. Did happen. It kind of snuck up on us, and it happened.
Snuck up on us. Yeah.
It came and went, and it's, I don't know how I feel.
Gotta say, I mean, it's gotta be, like, the weakest E3 in a long, long time. I mean, it's hard to say because we're probably forgetting some weak E3s because they're so forgettable. Because that's what makes a bad E3 is it being forgettable.
Yeah.
And this was forgettable.
It's kind of alarming that the most exciting conference for me was the limited run conference.
Oh yeah, same.
That was the most exciting conference.
Yeah. And it was literally already existing games just, hey, you can buy these now physically.
Well, they dropped that big bomb for me at the end.
Which one?
Double Switch 25th anniversary.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was pretty big for me.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that Senran Kagura.
Bon Appetit?
Yeah, the cooking rhythm game.
That's a big deal. And I actually stuck around for a while their Q&A because, I don't know, I really like... I really like the limited run guys, even though they're characters and Doug posts.
They're fine. They're just really, really lame and cringy.
They are cringy, but I like their business model. They seem like really, the staff is like, seems like a really chill group of people.
Yeah.
So I listened to their Q&A for a while, and Doug, actually, the only reason Bon Appetit happened was because Doug, the one you make fun of a lot.
The emo guy?
Yes, the emo haircut guy. He actually pushed for it the most. He's like a big Senran Kagura fan. He's got like all the figures, he's played all the games, he's super into the series. So, they actually visited the studio before and talked to them, and they had no interest. It's really hard to get Japanese companies to work with you. They see anybody, any other business as competition.
Right.
They don't want to partner up with another business, mm-hmm. but also at the same time, the only way Bon Appetit was really going to get an actual release was through limited run. There's no way that they could have pressed it for Vita and sold it at a normal.
Right, of course.
Never would have sold.
Yeah.
So, he had to basically convince that company that he was like a hardcore Senran Kagura fan and stuff, and like actually like showed all his stuff and everything, mm-hmm. and they're like. He talked about game preservation and why it was so important to him, and they just went, all right, well, we see the passion's there, so we'll do it. Like, that's really... He convinced them, so...
They basically just felt pressured into, like, all right, let's give this weird guy his game.
I guess you can look at it that way.
I mean, that's probably how they looked at it. They're like, all right, this guy's kind of creeping me out. Let's just give him what he wants so he leaves us alone.
Japanese are really good at saying no, trust me.
They're really bad at saying no. That's their thing.
They're really good at being like, well, they could have just been like, we'll consider it, and then like never talk to him again. That's sure. That's usually how they do it. So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting that's how it worked, and Josh, the other guy, he is the big full motion video fan. Like that's so he, I think he's the big reason that Double Switch happened.
Right.
So, breaking news to all people out, you know, all five of you care. Double Switch is getting redone for PS4 so far. Same exact guy, Screaming Villain, same guy who did the Night Trap recent remaster is doing the Double Switch one, which interestingly enough, that's I kind of called this because he already did it mobily.
Yeah.
And it's really well done, and I played it, and I just went, there's no reason that this should not get put out on a console. There clearly is a market for it. I think the same people who bought the Night Trap one are going to want the Double Switch one. Plus, what's his name?
Yeah, but Night Trap has the cultural relevance.
I know, but Double Switch is actually a good game.
I've got it already on my CDX.
Whatever. I don't want to play it on a system like that forever when it's just going to eventually break down again. What's his name who passed away recently from...
okay.
The old, like, drill sergeant actor who died recently.
Oh, yeah. Ernie?
Ernie Helm?
Wayne Ernie, I think his name was.
Yeah, he... Arlie Ermy. Old Erm. He was, he was in that game, so it's kind of cool that he's being preserved and...
Think he was actually preserved before that in Full Metal Jacket.
No, but his performance in Double Switch, though, that's my...
All right, now you're really reaching here.
Anyways, I'm just trying to say I'm excited. They dropped that bomb in the last... I guess we'll just dive into the limit. I think for this episode, we really wanted to talk about all the things that weren't touched upon E3 from the previous podcast, because you guys mostly just focused on the Nintendo.
Yeah, we were actually going to record another one. And then I didn't care enough because they were so lackluster.
Well, I mean,
we talked about it and I was like, yeah, did you want to record another one? He's like, all right. And then after about 10 minutes of thinking about it, I'm like, I don't feel like it. I just don't care enough.
Well, I say this is our post E3 thoughts and everything. All like the cool down of the announcements has, you know, we've processed them all. I have, like, my real post-Nintendo opinions I can give you and all the post-conference opinions I can give you that I know you're all dying to hear from me out there.
Right.
But first off, Limited Run games, we've talked about them all the time. I'm a huge fan of them. They had their own little conference, just a little, like, web thing they did on Twitch where they had, like, a really cheesy, like, Tim and Eric setup of just a green screen mm-hmm. and just like a fake conference. But
drove in on an initial D... Roku.
Yeah. And so what was your overall impression of the Limited Run conference?
It was fine.
Yeah.
There's games that I want to buy.
Anything in particular that stood out for you?
That Senran Kagura.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was the main one. There were a few others. I just can't remember them now. Doesn't matter because they'll announce them as they come out. So
yeah, I think the big deal for me was that
still waiting on my Thimbleweed Park. So,
yeah, I mean, they say it ships in July.
Yeah.
And they've said that. So,
hopefully. Still waiting on it.
Still waiting for July to come, I guess. I'm excited.
Every day I check the mail and I go, where's my Thimbleweed Park?
Where is it? You talk to mailmen every time.
Yep.
Still hasn't arrived yet. You have that kind of relationship with your mailman like the old days.
Yep. Nah, the mail people, they've gotten really lackluster. It's literally, I think our mailman now is just like an independent contractor in their own van. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, the one near my place, the guy's kind of like that. He's just some guy.
First we had the some guy. Like it was a guy in like street clothes, but he was in the mail truck. And then that guy went away, and it's literally just like a personal van with a person in street clothes. So, I mean, it's the fucking mail service. They're trying to cut costs anyway. Anyway,
Let's get back on track here. So, they made several physical announcements, which is, you know, that's what they do. And they announced lots of Switch titles. Golf Story, which is kind of not a surprise at all.
Yeah, we knew that.
That we knew that was coming. Some random other titles that, like, I honestly did not expect. Lairs of Fear. Didn't expect Lairs of Fear to get announced for the Switch.
Right.
That's getting the PS4 and Switch. When they announced Lairs of Fear, like, last year. So now they actually have a release date for it. And it's getting a Switch release, too. Another cool one, Thumper.
Yeah, that's Switch exclusive, yeah. Like a
rhythm
game. They say it's a rhythm horror game. I don't get that.
I don't understand the horror aspect of it.
Everything I've ever seen from it.
Yeah, that's getting a PS4 and Switch release, and like as early as that one's getting July 20th. Oceanhorn, which you purchased for PS4, that was like their surprise, like if you check the web, they had a surprise moment where they said, if you go to the website right now, we have a game.
It's available right now.
Right now. I mean, that's neat. Like, I think that's neat. That's cool they did that. I wish I cared about the game.
Yeah.
I have no interest in Oceanhorn, but lots of people like it. Night Trap got its release date of July.
For Switch.
I got Cranked, and Cosmic Star Heroine, which I just bought for Vita, is getting on the Switch.
Okay.
I'm really excited about Spelunky.
Yeah. For Switch, right?
No.
Oh, no. Was it for PS4? No. I thought it was for Switch.
No. It's getting released on PS4 and Vita.
Oh.
Are you not excited anymore?
I mean, I'll get it, but I swore it was for Switch.
No. I wish it would be, but No, not yet. Maybe eventually. I think they're probably just going to focus on Spelunky 2 for Switch.
Yeah.
Part 2 is coming out.
But yeah, I've been waiting to play that game, so...
I like it a lot. It was one of the free games for 360 one time, so that's how I have it. So, I want a physical copy for Vita, so...
Right.
It's a cool game to just randomly pull out, because it's one of those randomly generated games. It's been out for a long time. Most people know about it. That it's a... Every time you play... Once you die, you die. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. you're done. And then you have to restart the entire game all over again. And every time you enter the caves, they are completely randomly generated. That type of thing. So, always... Yeah. It has a lot of repeat value. And it's so much fun with friends. I recommend... You can do four people, but I think really two players is really the only way that really works.
It's whatever. I mean, it's... Because you don't share lives, you just get one life. So it's if your friends are stupid and die, then you move on without them.
You haven't played with multiple people too much, then, if you feel that way, because you can easily screw over your friends like constantly.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's kind of like the original Wii Super Mario Brothers, where like it's just chaos, and like you just hit each other constantly,
right?
And screw each other up.
So, what was your favorite aside from Limited Run? Because that's basically just retail announcements. I wouldn't even... What was your favorite conference, game developer conference?
Man, really hard to say.
Yeah, so many good choices to choose from.
No, it's so much lukewarm that I'm putting my hand in. I'm trying to feel what's is this a little bit warmer over here, because I mean Microsoft did what they needed to do. They are put in a corner right now. There's not much they can do right now, and they made all the right decisions.
So you remember what I said a few months ago, where I said that Microsoft, I think, will eventually branch out from the consoles and do like a Xbox branded PC and stuff.
I think they've already been head that direction for a while.
So they didn't announce it at this E3, but they did say that their next gen console is coming in 2020, and that it's going to be multiple hardware. Like parts or whatever.
Interesting.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear about this.
So, to me, that implies that basically what I was saying was right, which is I think they're going to go with a multifaceted approach where they're like, yeah, because they've been moving in this direction for a little while now, releasing every game on Windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think basically they're going to be like, yeah, we have a like Xbox tablet that's not going to play the games very well, but you can take it on the go. There's a dedicated Xbox machine, and then also we have an Xbox computer or whatever, yada yada yada. That's where I think they're headed, because they said it's gonna launch with multiple hardware like variations. So that was interesting. And then obviously their big bread and butter on this conference was the fact that they bought up five development studios, which that's been the problem, is that they don't have any games. They just don't have any exclusive games. So that, to me, signaled they are moving in the right... They know what's wrong. They're not clueless. They understand where their weak point is. The problem for me with Microsoft in general and Xbox almost always is... Let's be real here, all right? Because that's why you guys like to listen to us, is because we're real. Xbox, the games they do and the games they announced are only interesting if you're a 22-year-old college student who wears a backwards hat and likes to watch football. Like, that's the kind of... That's who they cater to.
Well, there goes our half our listeners right now.
That's who they cater to. It's like the tip... Like, the person who they... Their yearly gaming involves when Madden comes out, when Call of Duty comes out, when Halo comes out, whenever new generic shooter game comes out, and whenever sports game comes out. That's where they're... That's typically, like, the general audience they look at. And if you're not into those, they have a very... That's all they do. That's all they do is shooting games. That's it. So, although they're moving in the right direction, unless you're into that stuff, it's like... I was able to look at Microsoft's conference and go, they're doing what they need to be doing, but I also was like, and there's nothing here for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there just isn't.
No, there wasn't much at all. There was that little... like, one of the few moments where I was like, oh, that looks cool, was, like, their indie showing. They had, like, that little Fox game. I was like, that looks really cute. I might play that.
But you're not going to sell consoles with indie games.
No. Cuphead DLC was announced. They, like, grazed over that for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. That was weird.
They didn't even talk about it. And, like, Cuphead was, like, one of their big exclusives.
Yep.
So that's kind of strange that they just screened over that. But, I mean, I think overall Microsoft did a fine job. It just wasn't entertaining or exciting.
They're doing the right things, and I like what they're doing. It's just that for me, if they keep moving in the same direction that they have been, which is releasing their stuff on PC, it's perfect for me. I mean, I'm happy, but it's the actual Xbox hardware I'll never have a use for it.
I think you're in the minority on that. I think if they do create more games that are exclusive to the console, and yes, you can get them on PC too, but like, I think there's still a far bigger audience of people out there who just want to have a simple, easy system to hook up to their TV. And if they have, I think most people, they just want, all right, what plays the most games that I want to play? All right, I'm going to buy that one.
Right. Well, that's most certainly a PS4.
Most definitely. I'm just saying that we've said several times that this is what they need to do, and they're doing it. So I think I think you need to give them credit at least for that.
I've been giving them credit the whole podcast.
I'm just saying that they deserve credit for that, and that I'm just excited because I was getting nervous that they were basically giving up. And the thing is, let's move into our next topic. I think we know that no competition is not good.
Right.
And we know, like, the whole game sharing thing. I love how Sony, when Microsoft announced the whole, you know, your games are locked on to your system and everything, and then when Sony had their conference and they said, here's how you share games with us, and they were like, just being like, okay, whatever, dude, that's fine, like, you're not being dicks, great. But now Sony's like being an asshole with the crossplay. Well, they've been an asshole to crossplay, but it's gotten worse recently because Fortnite just got put to the Switch. Right. And I guess I really underestimate how big this game really is to people, because, like, it's one of those things where, like, once you know about Fortnite, you can't unsee it everywhere around you. It's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, largest saying kids in the streets were, like, doing, like, the dance emotions and stuff.
Really?
And then I was checking out at, like, Publix today, and, like, in the freaking, like, Impulse thing, there was just, like, the ultimate guide to Fortnite. And it's, like, this game is everywhere. It's huge.
Yeah. The thing about Fortnite is, I mean, it's this year's Pokemon Go. It's the flavor of the week, and they've really caught on. They've got something good here in that once you're able to sell to, like, 90% of kids in elementary, middle school age, you've got a world sensation on your hands. Like, that's what happened with Pokemon cards. It's what happened with the Pokemon game. It's with Five Nights at Freddy's and
Minecraft.
Minecraft. It's like, once you have the attention of literally 9 out of 10 kids aged 5 to 14, that's when you can't lose. Like, all of a sudden now, because you've got every single kid on the planet going home and looking at this stuff and playing it, now adults start to pay attention. They go, oh, this is pretty neat. And then they get into it, and they tell their friends, and, like, you have a world sensation on your hands. Same exact thing with Pokemon Go. Like, our friend's fucking, you know, 60-year-old mom is, like, playing it. So it's a sensation, and the reason for that is because it's free and it plays on every single device, on phones, on computers, on the Switch now, Xbox, Mac, PC, doesn't matter. It plays on every single device and it's free. So literally every little kid with any device can download it and play it with their friends.
Yeah, well, that's the key here, is that they can play with their friends. Right. But we have Sony, which they've been like this for a while. There's been multiple games that have actually...
Minecraft was the first one that really... Or, I mean, Rocket League was the first one that really came... Brought it to people's attention.
Yeah. Basically people were pushing them and asking them, why didn't you do crossplay for Xbox, PS4, and Switch? And they flat out... When they put in a corner, they were like, it wasn't our choice, guys. Like,
Sony doesn't
want to do it. And it just keeps happening. So, like, I think gamers kind of just accepted that it's probably not going to happen. Like, there was talks with Overwatch that it was possible.
Gamers accepted it. The problem is now...
Yes, you're exactly. This moves to our next point.
You're dealing with people who aren't gamers. There aren't... You know, the amount of people playing Fortnite... There aren't that many, like, hardcore gamers out there. This is, like, what I was talking about with Pokemon Go and stuff. Fortnite goes beyond gaming, and now it's just, like, in the public ether. Everyone is involved in it and playing it, and parents know what it is, and kids who don't normally play games are playing it. It's like Pokemon. And so you have people who don't know what gaming is like, and then you're telling them, you have a PS4, sorry, yeah, you can't play with your friends, and people are getting fucking pissed off.
Well, not only that, you can't move your assets over to Switch if you've already played Fortnite on your PS4.
Yeah, so with Fortnite, everything is connected through an account.
Yeah,
a basic Fortnite account, except for whatever reason, Sony is locking those accounts to the console. So it's not just Switch. You can't bring that account anywhere. You can't sign into that account anywhere. So, except for maybe PC, I'm not sure. But, yeah. And it's one of the coolest features of Fortnite is the fact that I can add my friend, who's only a PC gamer, onto my Fortnite friends list and play together. So... They've got a bit of a problem on their hands.
Yeah. I've always liked the idea of crossplay. I've always knew it would be good, but now that it's actually being executed, it's just kind of like, this is a no-brainer. Like, why shouldn't I be able to contact my friends? Mm-hmm. I can't play with my friends at the place that I work at often because we all own different consoles and stuff, and right. It's just such a, all right, I guess we're not going to play this game. And companies need to start understanding, Sony needs to understand, that I might play your console and your system more if you let me play with my friends.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
There comes to a point where I know that their whole excuse is that they're in the lead
right
now, and they have no reason to succumb for it, so they feel like it's going to devalue their brand that's already on top right now. And it's just, at the end of the day, though, you have to start looking at it from a public relations perspective and go, okay, how douchey do we want our product to look? Yeah. Like, what kind of image are we telling our customers that we just value their money and that's it? There is a point in time where you have to take that PR stance and go, okay, but we need to actually not look like assholes too.
It's the curse of being in first.
Yeah.
It always happens. Always.
Microsoft's talking shit, but the thing is, we all know that Microsoft would be doing the same exact thing if they were in this position.
Yeah, they tried it with the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So.
And this is why competition's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... They're getting backed into a corner. People want answers. They don't want to give them. And
oh, it's great. They're getting like hounded in interviews right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of time before they break on that.
I hope.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that Fortnite was the one that's going to probably be the last straw on it. Because I thought Overwatch was going to be the one where they were going to be like, all right, fine. But Overwatch really? Didn't even succeed.
I think it would be Minecraft. Minecraft's way more popular than Overwatch.
Yeah, true.
Number one selling game of all time.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what else have we got to talk about here? I got to, so do you want to just talk a little bit about what you thought about the Nintendo conference since you weren't here?
Yeah,
because I do have something to bring up.
Well, just in general, you're like post thoughts. I mean, it's been a little bit now, so we can talk about.
Actually, so I'm gonna segue right into this because we're just talking about Fortnite. Something that I've noticed that's been brought up and that is really pissed me off about Nintendo is that the release of Fortnite has shown that voice chat with the system has been available all along, and they just refuse to put it in and opt to use that app that we hate so much.
I don't know why that surprises you.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, I know from a, like I was telling you before, from a hardware and software perspective, because I have a degree in computer hardware and almost a degree in computer programming, I understand how simple it is to interface the software with the headphone jack.
He knows the beeps and boops.
I know the beeps and boops. I know the ones and zeros. I know the I know the circuitry. So I understand that it could happen, but the fact is that it's already built into their software. It's not even like, it's just if you want, you can do it. So they wouldn't even have to do a firmware update. It's literally just a matter of including it in the game. And the fact that they're not doing that and insisting that you use this fucking app drives me insane. It just really, it angers me so much because of how unintuitive it is.
Yeah, would be sure nice if I could do that for Splatoon.
Yeah.
Would be really nice. So, yes, you can plug in a wired headset into the headphone jack, and that's currently how you can use actual voice chat within a game, mm-hmm. not on the app. So does this mean Nintendo's caving in? Does this mean we're going to see it in first party games? Really don't know. You can't predict anything with this company. They make the weirdest decisions always.
To their credit, they did originally say it's up to the developer.
Yeah.
Regarding voice chat, like a year ago or whatever. Just nobody's done it, I guess.
Hmm.
So, just another head scratcher from old Ninty.
They're really good at that.
So, what were your initial thoughts, or what are your thoughts now on the Nintendo conference?
When it was going on, I was excited at first. I was surprised how early they dove into Smash Brothers, because I knew it was all Smash Brothers. I knew they did say that. It's just weird because I did expect some sort of something at the end. Just not even. I'm okay with the fact that it was just Smash Brothers, but I just a hint.
Where's
something.
The rest of 2018?
Where's the little, like, just so you know, like, we still got stuff coming, and then maybe like just a little like teaser stuff of like more. You know what? I would have even been fine with this, like, more teaser footage of like the stuff they showed before, and just like more of it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And the thing is, I know that their new model is that they just don't want to show games that don't have a window that's going to come out within, I think Reggie said, 9 months or something like that.
That worries me even more, though, because that means that they've got nothing to show for the rest of 2018. And it's like, let's be real here. That Smash Brothers is all but a port. It's basically a port. Like, I'm a huge Smash Brothers fan, and I'm going to buy that game on day one. But when you break it down, you're looking at a couple of extra characters and stages, and that's it. It's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Smash Brothers. So that's not like. So my point is, I'm a huge Smash Brothers fan. I'm not like, I can't wait for this game. Like, that's not, to me, that's not a big holiday game because I already own it, essentially. And I'm not saying they should have done anything different. As far as Smash Brothers goes, I'm like, I'm fine with what they did. But I mean, as far as the big holiday game, or just even the rest of 2018 in general, I need a little bit more than just a Mario Party and Smash Brothers.
Yeah, the Mario Party I was whatever with. Because Mario Party, problem with Mario Party is that they've completely lost credibility with me for the Mario
yeah.
Party. It hasn't been good in a long time. Like, yeah. I don't trust you to make a good,
so it's
good
like
game.
It's like the GameCube.
I don't even like the GameCube ones that much.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't trust them to make a good game. So, I mean, they could change my mind. I would love them to change my mind. Like, everyone's, like, speculating, oh, they're going back to the Mario Party 2 roots and everything. And I'm just like, why are you... I don't understand where you're getting this, because it's on a board and they're moving around. I don't get it, because in the newer ones, they all, like, go in a car together and stuff. And it's like, yeah, because they're individually moving on a board, they're going back to their roots. And it's just like, okay, but, like, it wasn't just... I'm okay with, like, different ways of, like, characters moving around the board and everything, whatever, but it was the gameplay itself wasn't good. The games were mediocre. They weren't fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm whatever with Mario Party. It could be good.
Mario Party to me is not...
No. Mario Party is not a huge...
No, not at all.
...title. It's not.
So, I saw that,
and it's just... They didn't do anything in that footage to make me go, you know what? Maybe I'll give him another shot.
Yeah, it's basically, the problem is, it's what everyone thought would happen after that first year. Everyone was like, yeah, they're having a great first year, but you can't just put out all your huge titles the first year and then don't do anything the second year. Like, that's what I kept hearing last year, and it seems like that's exactly what they're doing. They put all their eggs into 2017's basket with Zelda, Mario, Splatoon, the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like literally all the major franchises they have, they put them out in the first year. And now it's like, okay, so give us some of the B-level franchises like Animal Crossing or Metroid or something like that. Like, and there's nothing like that.
I think we're going to get another announcement before the end of the year.
You have to.
We'll get another direct.
I think that they were so confident with, like, the Smash Brothers stuff that they were like, well, we can wait until the next direct. And I think before E3 was even over, they're, like, on Code Red over there in Nintendo, like, trying to slap together a Nintendo Direct within the next, like, 6 weeks as fast as possible.
I think so, too.
Because everyone
gave them bad reviews.
Everyone was like, where are the games?
Yeah. We knew Smash Bros. Was coming. Like, nothing you showed... Okay, sure. Let's not graze over the fact that the Smash Bros. Announcements were good. Like, they're giving us all the characters, all the maps, all that stuff. Like, that is really good news. I'm not trying to downplay that. It's just not...
Smash Brothers didn't sell Wii U's, and it's not... No. And this is almost the same game, so it's not going to sell holiday systems.
No, I love Smash Brothers, but this is the equivalent of, like, Call of Duty 3 Remake, and it's just...
Right.
That's
it. I'm sure it'll be a great game. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm going to buy it, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's not... enough. It hasn't been long enough. It's not a new engine. It's only a few characters. Like, if you're counting the characters that weren't in the last game, you're looking at like 8 characters that you have played before in other games, Snake and stuff.
I just love that their big, like, curtain reveal was Ridley.
Sure, and that's cool.
But like, that wasn't like, that's your giant twist on your E3 presentation. Yeah. Is it like, we're getting Ridley? Okay, fine, but like, that's not that big of a deal.
We have two new characters essentially.
Yeah,
like, which one we already know about. So, it's just, to me, it's not enough. There needs to be another game. There needs to be another game. I mean, you have two remakes basically, Smash Brothers and that Pokemon game. Snyder kept arguing that the Pokemon game was worthy of being, like, the big holiday game. And I'm
absolutely
like...
Absolutely not.
No. Absolutely it's not even a mainline game.
No. It'll sell some, but it's not... It's not an A-list.
You know what that type of shit ends up doing? It ends up in the bargain bin or at a flea market. We see it all the time. Like, Pokemon Puzzle League and shit like that.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about those games. Like, yeah, people are excited now. And when it comes out, it'll probably sell decently well. But it's not going to get the same kind of... like, people aren't going to be as excited about it as they are, like, when an actual new mainline series game comes out. And even then, those have been on the portable systems forever. So it's like, I don't even count that as you've been putting those out yearly anyway. I don't count that as a major tentpole release for your home console.
No. I'm excited for the Switch. I still think Switch has got... I still think... They played the cards right in the beginning. They got everyone to attach to the system. The system is still selling really well. Third-party developers have all changed their tune to it. It's looking great, but Nintendo, as always, will be the will make you scratch your head and be like, what are you doing?
Like, it's either amazing or it's just like, what?
I don't understand. Well, okay, next point. No discussion of online.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's a huge miss.
It comes out in September.
Yeah.
It's June.
Yep. You got 3 months to get this shit together and sell me on it.
You have 3 months to get me to take us a... to pay for online play, and I have no idea what your service really is that much. You've given me very little details on it.
I mean, maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but there's got to be, like, a surprise game that they haven't showed off yet that they're just like... because they do that a couple times. What was the game that they showed? Like, Splatoon 2, I think. They announced it in February or March, and they're like, yeah, it's coming out in July. Like, there's got to be some... game that they haven't showed off yet that they're going to show off in the next direct, whether it be in July or August, where they're like, oh, by the way, this game comes out next month with launches with the online service. Like, there has to be. There has to be, because they have to launch it with a game.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. You can't tell people, all right, now it costs money to play the game you currently
have. Well, because
have.
Picture all the people, like my sister, okay? My sister's 13 years old. Okay, she doesn't follow this stuff. She doesn't know anything about it. She gets up one day on the weekend to play Mario Kart with her friends that she's been doing since she bought the system, and it just comes up with an error message. Error 675544. No Nintendo online account connected. Like, and she's just going to be like, what? Like, that's what most people are going to experience. If there's no, like, if there's no big game to launch with it, and they don't have that on, like, the front page of the eShop and on the, you know, the little, like, ticker that shows up. If they don't have that shit, like, broadcasted, and, like, we got, you know, I'll just use an example. Like, we got new Animal Crossing coming out September 12th, and it launches with the new, like, Nintendo Online system, $20
a
year.
If you buy this game, we'll give you a free year.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, if there's no game or big announcement, like, big launch like that, you're going to have literally, like, probably 70%+ of the Switch user base wake up one day and be like, what? Why can't I use this? Why can't I play this game online anymore? And especially now that you have Fortnite on there, so you have even more, like, little kids playing a free game. The game is free. Like, that's the big draw, is that kids who don't have any money, all their friends are playing this game, and they're like, oh, cool, I can play this game with all my friends for free, but now they can't. And they're gonna wake up one Saturday morning and boot up their Switch and go to play their game and be like, oh, it's not working, and I don't know why.
It's a sad, sad
so
vision.
I guess my brain won't allow me to believe that there's nothing launching with it. There has to be. There just has to be. I just can't picture there being a scenario where one day you wake up and you turn on your Switch and it just goes, you must pay $20 now to play online.
Or they could push it back again.
That, I think, is a bigger possibility. But then you're going to have people pissed off like, okay, asshole, seriously, like, give us some form of virtual console.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep pushing this back and then also being like, when it comes, though, you'll get classic games. When people have been asking for it since the launch, which is... I'm not going to go into this topic, but that's another just... head scratcher, like mind boggling thing, where it's just like, are we really almost 2 years in and there's no way to play classic games yet? Like, when they had such success with it before.
Yeah.
So that actually leads into my next topic, which is that Reggie, in an interview at E3, was quoted, he confirmed that the Nintendo Online service is the actual, like, full-blown successor to the virtual console.
Okay.
And that that the catalog will continue to grow, as opposed to, I guess, he didn't specifically say this, but the way I interpret it was, as opposed to just, like, there being random games ever and they go away, the way I interpreted it was, it will be like a Netflix service type thing, where the catalog just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I'd be happy with that if it's got a good selection and if it's got a good selection and it runs offline.
Yeah,
that's pretty much where I'm at with it.
I don't think that their online infrastructure and their history with online is good enough to like stream that stuff.
Well,
also we've talked about it before. Console. Exactly, we've talked about this before. It's a portable console. It is. So it's like that's one of the problems with the Resident Evil 7 cloud game is it's like it's supposed to be a portable console. Why? Like it's cool that you did that, but don't make a habit out of it.
Yeah.
And if they're virtual, yeah, it's just that would be so stupid. And I can't picture for me if they did that, I think I would probably not get the Nintendo Online service just out of principle, like as a like just to, as a way to give my opinion on what I think of it, like you know, like I think I would abstain from paying the online fee if they did the cloud virtual console because it's something that's so absurd and that nobody wants that I don't want them thinking that they can get away with it and people will pay it anyway.
I just really hope they do make something good with it because it's just going to affect everything. It's a giant ripple effect because if you don't impress people. I'm gonna get it, and I'm gonna have less people to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm gonna be like, hey, want to play this game? No, I don't have the online service. Oh, you have a Switch? Yeah, I have one. Oh, cool. We should play Mario Kart. Yeah, I don't have the online. It kind of sucks. So I don't get it.
Even and even more so, it will affect us in that, like, if nobody buys it, and that's how they're doing virtual console, they're gonna make less virtual console games for it because it's not profitable for them, and nobody's playing them. So we'll get less games then too. It's just, yeah, it's like you said, it's a ripple effect. It's worrisome. They have told us almost nothing. They really, really need to come out and spell out in the next direct. That's the only option. In the next direct, they have to give a full detailed explanation.
I think the next direct we're going to have is going to be a demonstration of the it'll have a demonstration of how it'll look on the system and everything.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you have to have a full. You better tell us all 20 games that it's launching with and stuff like that. Like that, you're talking about having us pay for this, whether monthly or yearly. No more fucking around. I want to know what I'm paying for. I want to know what you're planning on. You're going to be changing the experience completely.
Yeah,
for the Switch.
I guess it's good that like you said, they got bad reviews about their conference. Their stocks went down that day, which you know, whatever. That stuff always happens with stocks, but that stuff is what talks. That's what's going to get the president going. Oh boy, we made the wrong call on that one. Like,
yeah.
All right, guys. Like,
yeah. This.
So, yeah. Overall, E3, it's a snooze fest. Sony. Sony, highlights. Resident Evil 2 looks cool. Claire looks weird.
I'm a little worried that it looks a bit too much like Resident Evil 4.
That's what I expected to happen. They did say, apparently, you can change the camera angles. You don't have to go Resident Evil 4 route. You can do the fixed camera route.
Can you?
Apparently. I don't know if that's really confirmed or not, but people keep saying that.
It's not even so much the way that it's... the camera is so much as just the way the gameplay is. For me, it's a no-go if it's not like super survival based. Like if you can genuinely just go around and kill every zombie and not have to like watch all your resources and like pick and choose, like, do I really want to waste bullets right now or should I just run away? If it's not like that, then it's not Resident Evil 2 in my mind.
We'll see. I like to look, I looks great.
Yeah.
Hopefully the gameplay matches up. So that was the most exciting thing for Sony for me. And Last of Us 2, don't care, but you did talk about your Last of Us 2 impressions.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Which you can take as a compliment to the game, I guess, but I'm extremely skeptical of the footage they showed. Because it looked like a QuickTime game, but there were no QuickTime events, if that makes sense.
Right. It, the way they made it look was that, like, you actually, as the player, were controlling all these moments of
stumbling around
like, a character throwing you against something, and total use of the environment, like a character swinging his weapon, hitting the thing near you, and you bouncing off of it, and using everything around you,
using the momentum to jump into and stab him. Yeah,
yeah. So it looked.
Looked too cinematic.
Way too cinematic. So I.
But it was supposed to be gameplay.
Yeah.
So if. Honestly, if that is actually how it plays, that to me is like a breakthrough in gaming on the level of like Breath of the Wild or something. Like that's the next step of, you know, beyond graphics and stuff. That's like. Because it's all about. When you're at this point where the graphics are so good that the increases are so minuscule. The big jumps in technology are basically in the physics
and right. How you actually play the game.
Right, how you interact with the world. And if that's how that game actually plays, that would be like a huge step up in gaming technology.
Come from people who both didn't like the first one.
I didn't like the first game.
Didn't like it. And like we're in the minority. I don't talk to people who played it. Who
I didn't hate it, like but it was just a generic third-person shooter for me.
I couldn't
me.
Even get through it.
It was a cover
it.
Shooter. I finished it. I don't know how.
I don't know how you did, dude. I played about 8 hours, and that was enough.
It's not much longer than that.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Did you make it to the snow area?
No.
So you didn't even make it to, like, winter or whatever?
No.
Yeah, I beat it. You know, I just didn't... I guess everyone likes the story. I don't... It's just,
I don't understand what's groundbreaking about the story. It's like your generic
Because you actually,
story.
I guess, care about the... characters and whatever. I mean, a lot of these people who are coming over Last of Us are the same types of people who are like still into Walking Dead 9 seasons in, and sure. That show is just trash fest. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. It, you know, whatever. But it looked amazing. It really did.
No, yeah, it did.
So anything else from that conference you were into? What about Death Stranding? Interested in that?
I don't know. I don't know. Every trailer, I'm more intrigued and confused at the same time.
That's why I'm on board now.
So, no, I mean...
After, like, 3 trailers, and I'm like, okay, this is weird enough and, like, creepy enough and just confusing enough that I'm like, I trust in Kojima. So, he's... In my mind, he's, like, all around... Like, just overall, probably the if not one of the best game developer of our generation, which would be basically of all time. Just the overall, overarching, like, setting, theme, story, music. Like, he's just a craftsman of all. Like, he puts the whole thing together in a way that nobody else really does.
Well, in a sea of... If you watch all the trailers put together for this for E3, it's all like the same shit.
Right.
Shooter, shooter, sports game, racing game, shooter, mm-hmm. shooter. And then you have his games and they just everyone stops and watches them.
Yeah.
And talks about them. So they made an impression. So I mean, I think it's just the question of what is the actual gameplay really going to be? But at the same time, I'm with you. I do trust.
He's made so many good games, and it's like, why am I gonna doubt it now? He actually made a point to say we didn't want to show any like gunfights and stuff.
That's great. In a world of like, because I talked about this before, AAA new games bore the hell out of me.
Yeah,
they all look and feel the same, and then you have his where like you know that he's gonna do something different with
it. Yeah. Yep. So
he's gonna tell a story that I've never would have heard before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all in on that. I saw that final trailer or that last trailer that we saw was like the final straw for me, where I'm like, maybe I should just stop watching anything that with this game.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna buy it. And once you decide you're gonna buy it, especially the Kojima game, it's like the less you know going in, the better it is.
Absolutely,
because he's just his stuff is always just like. Off the wall, crazy, and entertaining. So, I was talking about it the other night with you and our friend, and like Metal Gear Solid 3 is like probably the most cinematic game I'd ever played. And that's not to say either that the gameplay was great too. It kept me engaged. It was fun. So it's like not only does he do such a like I feel like mostly in gaming, you have to choose one or the other. It's like, here's a super cinematic game, like Heavy Rain, but the gameplay is like, it sucks. It's fucking snooze fest. You know, you either have a game with a lot of cutscenes that's like a walking sim or whatever, or you have a game that's really gameplay heavy, but the story is kind of weak or whatever. And he's always done an amazing job at like intertwining storytelling while you're playing the game, not relying solely on cutscenes and stuff, but like that latter scene in Metal Gear Solid 3 where it's like you're playing the game and the next thing you know you're like part of the cutscene. But when you didn't even realize it, you're like, oh, okay, here's a ladder, let me climb up it. And the next thing you know, it's like you're watching a scene and the, you know, the music swells and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, like this is an actual, like we're like, this is a cinematic moment basically that I'm playing. So he's an amazing artist. That's what it comes down to. He's an artist, and he's also good at creating entertaining gameplay. So that's, to me, that's all I need to know with that game. So, and then you have the game from the makers of Dark Souls, which you'll probably say that you're interested in, but will never get around to play.
No, I'm already being honest. I probably won't play.
Yeah, the ninja game.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it looks cool.
Yeah,
but I mean, you talk about it. You're interested.
I mean, there's not much to say. It looks great. It's from the makers of Dark Souls. They're probably one of the more unique original game developers that are around right now. You were just complaining about how tired and generic AAA games are, and they're the ones who take those genres and push them into territories that, you know, you don't typically see. So,
well, they did also tease, it was them as well that teased that like
VR game, but they didn't say anything about it really.
Yeah, it was just
no gameplay or anything. It was just like weird cutscenes. But the ninja game looks fucking awesome. It's like a faster paced, because they're the developers of what is that ninja game for the Tenchu, I think. They were the developers of Tenchu, so this is like a mix between like Tenchu and Dark Souls. So there's a lot of verticality that wasn't in any of the Dark Souls games. So there's like a lot of jumping around. Looks like he has like a hook shot that he can use to get up higher and faster paced. And yeah, it looked really cool. Nobody makes better action games than they do. So their focus is always on the mechanics. That's what a game should be. So
I'll play one eventually.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what else that they had at the old Sony conference. Anything worth note?
Not really. Nothing else really stood out to me.
That Ghosts of...
Oh, the other...
The samurai game.
The other samurai game. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about these things because it's just
impossible to know how it plays.
Like,
and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you have beautiful looking games like this and everything, it's like, okay, cool. It looks cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know, is it going to be interesting? Is it going to be the gameplay going to be fun?
So that's how I felt about the Spider-Man game, where like it when they're playing the trailer, I'm like, oh, this looks really cool.
And then the gameplay and footage came out.
Yeah, the gameplay. And it wasn't just gameplay footage. It was someone sitting there playing the game. And I'm like, oh, this just looks like a typical, like, third-person button-mashing action game. It reminded me of, like, Infamous or, you know, really whatever. Like any of those third-person action games, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Looks fine. Looks average. It doesn't look nearly as cool as in the trailers. So, which is what I started to get worried about anyway. And sure enough, I was right. So.
One of these days, we'll make our way to E3 and have some real opinions on it.
Yeah, well, if we get enough subscribers in this podcast, they'll probably bring us in there. Media pass. And then I can actually get a chance behind closed doors to play the one game that I was really curious about this E3, which was Cyberpunk 2077, which they didn't show off to the public because reason. Do you hear about this?
No.
They didn't show any gameplay footage in the trailer, and then they brought all the media behind closed doors to play an hour-long demo. So all we have is, like, impressions from media people.
What do they think?
Well, they said it was cool, and it was, like, a first-person, like, Witcher-style game in a, you know, and it's... It sounds like something I'm interested in. It's like a sci-fi, cyberpunk RPG, and I really like first-person RPGs. It's like Witcher, where it's a deep RPG. There's, yeah, like romance options and things like that, and it sounds really cool, looks really cool, but I haven't seen it in gameplay. I wish they would have showed it, but they just showed it behind closed doors, and I feel like we're back in 1995. Like, just bizarre to me that it was one of the most anticipated games and they didn't show the public any gameplay footage.
What do you rate this E3 out of a 5?
2.
Yeah.
Not the worst I've seen, but it's not... we will forget that it happened.
Yes.
Like, there are, I don't remember... Like, I couldn't tell you past E3. I couldn't tell you what... was unveiled at like E3 2011. You know, it was just a non-issue. It won't go down as a memorable one, but it's both good and bad. It wasn't so bad that it will be remembered, but it wasn't good enough to be remembered either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel on it. What about you? Out of 5?
I'll give it a 2.5.
2.5, okay. Thought we were using full round numbers, but...
That's a rookie mistake.
I give it a 2.25.
It's whatever. I'm not, like, insanely disappointed, but I'm just like, okay. It happened, it came, and it went. I think Nintendo kind of just finally... I mean, they've already kind of told the public that they don't give a shit about E3.
Yeah.
And I think that they... are more so, when they're a cocky company right now, I think they more so are going to be like, don't care.
It's stupid because they say, oh well, you know, E3's not that important because of the internet age or whatever, but it's like, it's not important because you have made it not important.
Mm-hmm.
If you still made all your major announcements at E3, doesn't matter how available information is, that's when people announce their big games, and therefore it is important. You know, it's like saying, you know, one bar in town is no more important than the other one, except for everyone goes to that bar and nobody goes to the other one. It's like, well, actually it is more important because it's relevant. And that's the thing, it's all about relevancy, and if they make it relevant, then it's relevant, and they've made it irrelevant. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they say, oh, well, it's not important anymore, but that's because they've said it's not important anymore and treat it as such. So, yeah, it is what it is, but either, you know, don't have this... They say it's not important, but then they go and they have these huge conferences. So it's like it's given them a way to show off while at the same time being like intellectually lazy and not having to come up with like good ideas or good trailers or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they played the same Kingdom Hearts trailer 4 times.
Oh my god. So I got so tired of Kingdom Hearts by the end of E3.
The same trailer. And she's like, what are you doing? This is fucking lazy. Just release it on your YouTube channel then at that point. Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big game, but Jesus, it just got old so fast. And I actually don't care about Kingdom Hearts at all, so it was very repetitive for me.
I don't
especially
either.
Since they didn't do a good job making me hyped about this game because it just... Voice acting was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, did they have voice acting in the games before?
Yeah.
And it just wasn't as bad?
Not as bad. I could be wearing, you know, rose-colored glasses from the past, but... One of the big draws of Kingdom Hearts back then is that, like, especially Kingdom Hearts 1, they were like, we got all the original voice actors to come back. And in Kingdom Hearts 3, it's, like, really clear that they didn't.
Oh, okay.
Like, and all the voice, even like the non-Disney characters. Like, there's no excuse that you couldn't got a decent voice actor for the non-Disney characters. And like, Sora sounded terrible, and Sora sounded pretty decent back then.
I feel like this is going to be possibly like one of those Duke Nukem Forever situations where the development of the game and the teasing of this game lasts like 8 years, and then it comes out and it's like, not very good.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, the thing is, yeah, exactly. The gap is too long. Those games were huge back then for so long.
Let's be honest. They're not great games to begin with.
They're not.
they like the Disney and Final Fantasy stuff is the only draw. The gameplay. I only played the first one, so I don't know how different it is. But the gameplay is like generic and boring as fuck. If I remember correctly, it's been several years since I played it, and I could only get to, like, I think I got to the Alice in Wonderland Kingdom, which is, like, the third one. I'm like,
it's, like, one of the first areas.
I'm like, this is garbage. If I remember correctly, the gameplay is just square, 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 square. Square, 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 square.
Well, X, X, X.
Whatever. No, I thought X was jump.
Okay, no, you may be right.
And so, am I wrong? If I remember correctly, it's just attack, 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 attack. It's over and over again until they die, and then you pick up the coins they drop over.
Yeah. And then it's a very boring action RPG.
Yeah.
It's very boring.
So the only draw are the characters and stuff. And if they didn't even get the voice actors back and the dialogue is awful, I just don't see it being like a big hit. Although for some reason people really have like blinders on with those games. Oh,
absolutely. They love it. Like that no one's criticizing it. Like no one I talked to talks about the voice acting. Like the media loves it. Yeah, they're like all over it, and I'm just like, why did you guys notice that this game doesn't look well? I mean, I'm not trying to shit all over. The visuals do look cool. Like,
I was confused why they went with the, I mean, I know why, but it seemed weird that they went with the Pirates of the Caribbean theme because they've always done animated stuff.
No, I mean, Pirates has already shown up before.
Really?
Yeah. And they've had all sorts of stuff from every single Disney like iteration, which is what makes it cool. I do like the concept of Kingdom Hearts. I should love Kingdom Hearts because I'm a giant Same. Disney fan. And
Same.
They even had like Kingdom Hearts 2 had a whole Tron section.
Yeah. I would play it if it was turn-based.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely would play it if it was turn-based, but it's just I don't like action RPGs that much. I'm open to them if they actually make an effort to make the gameplay interesting.
Yeah,
but maybe they will. Maybe they'll prove us wrong. Maybe the gameplay will be really fun. But so far, what I'm seeing from it, it doesn't look that interesting to me.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap this up. You know, if you made it this far, thank you. We appreciate it, and if you want to send us a blank check, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So just send us a private message, and I'll give you my mailing address, and you can
money orders are good too.
Money order is good. That's
preferable.
Yeah, actually preferable. But well, blank check, I could just write whatever I need in there, and I need a lot of zeros. So. thanks for listening. You can subscribe on YouTube, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and whatever else. I don't know what else there is out there, but I'm sure we're on it.
Go to your local supermarket and ask for the Game Boys.
Right. Check your Barnes & Noble. And so thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, and this is going off the rails, so we're gone now.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.